This is Jordan Seculo, the Manchester bomber previously known as an active threat to the community.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
You will be aware that the level of activity in this investigation is intense and is continuing at a fast pace. We've made three further arrests in connection with attacks overnight, and this afternoon we entered an address in Manchester city centre using a controlled explosion. So that brings the total number of people in custody currently to four.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Did somebody else put that bomb together, and are you searching for that person? Is this a search now for a bomb maker?
I think it's very clear that this is a network that we are investigating, and as I've said, it continues at a pace. There's extensive investigations going on and activity taking place across Greater Manchester as we speak.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. Well, as you've now learned in these reports on the Manchester bombing, the toll still remains at 22 killed, over 100 injured, some critical who are still being hospitalized. So that, unfortunately, that number could go up. We're learning more about the stories of the teenagers, young children, eight-year-olds, aunts who shielded their siblings and nieces and nephews from the bomb blast, who died. So you've got adults as well, obviously, who have been killed in this blast. But now we've learned that the bomber was known in the community as a radical. He started loudly praying in the streets. There was a switch that happened in his life. He went from a pretty normal, run-of-the-mill Manchester United fan kid from kind of a rough part of Manchester, immigrant family, but a very religious family. But he himself was not very religious, to a bearded, praying in the streets loudly, radical Muslim who was scaring his own imam. Now, the question is, did this imam ever report his behavior inside the mosque? He was scaring the imam because the imam gave an anti-ISIS sermon. So this was sounds like a good imam. At the same time, though, did they take that next step, which we believe is so necessary, to drive them out of your religious centers, out of your mosque, out of your holy places? And Logan, this imam, the language he used to describe the look of this terrorist in his eyes is, again, it kind of sends shivers down your spine.
Right, yeah. This is a quote from him. Salman showed me the face of hate after my speech on ISIS. He used to show me the face of hate. I could tell this person does not like me, and this is not a surprise to me. So again, the fact that you're even willing to even say it's not a surprise to you shows that something's got to be done.
Yes, and as is fairly regular in these cases, he had just returned from Libya. His family had basically all went back to Libya, which is interesting considering it's war-torn right now. So why would they be moving back at this time if they were not radicals who may also... Now, supposedly his family was concerned about him and they tried to take his passport, but then he got back to the UK. So again, a lot of changing news, but there is also the report that either he is definitely in Libya, but that he may have also been in Syria, that he may have very well had the training necessary to put together an explosive like this. In fact, there was a booklet found in his home about chemicals. His brother, who remained in the UK, one of his brothers who remained in the UK, was arrested. And there have been three other arrests last night in Manchester. So it appears that a cell has been identified. On that note, the UK has raised their terror level. What is it? The exact terminology is imminent? No,
critical. Critical,
which
from
means,
severe, which means it could be an imminent.
They expect an imminent threat. There are military on the streets protecting Buckingham Palace. A man with a knife was arrested right in front of Buckingham Palace this morning. There is a lot to talk about. We want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. And again, folks, whether you're engaging with us on radio, on SiriusXM, or through Facebook or Periscope.
That's right. Get your comments in right now on Facebook and Periscope. If you're watching us right now, you can do that. Interact. Be a part of the show. Get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the break and during the show. Or you can give us a call. Phone lines just opened up. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. Or get your comments in on social media. If you're not watching online, we don't take a break online, so we'll continue to go in the breaks. We'll be right back. More on Jay Seculo Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us today on Jay Sekulow Live. New details emerging about the bomber, the ISIS terrorist, and it's now confirmed his links to ISIS. And here's how. One, he was just in Libya. His family moved back to Libya. That's where they're from now. He was born in Manchester. He was not initially radical. There's photos of him now showing him as a kid.
You know,
this was a normal, again, had some criminal issues.
And then
converted.
Disappeared.
So there's, we know he was in Libya. There are reports that he may have also been in Syria. So ISIS strongholds, both of those actually, where he could have put together the knowledge to be the bomb maker or at least be connected with the bomb maker, whether or not he put together the entire explosive device. They say usually, you know, in these terrorist networks, someone who could put together a device that sophisticated would not also be used as the one to carry out the attack if that was going to be a suicide attack. There's a question of whether this was still, though they're treating it that
right.
way. I don't think this was a suicide vest. They haven't really come to that conclusion.
That
it does not appear that. This could have been a blast so strong that the bomber himself may have been killed by it.
Do we have that confirmed that he's dead?
Yes. Okay. They do know he is dead. What we also know is that he became very religious and he scared his imam to death. I mean, literally, I mean, like with the eyes of hate during an anti-ISIS sermon. Logan, I want to take calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, but tell people about that report. I mean, that is, again, because we talked about, let me play that bite from Donald Trump. The idea that, okay, if you identify an individual like this in your mosque, okay, and you're giving a good sermon as an imam. I mean, here you have Jordan Sekulow, ACLJ, saying, sounds like a good sermon at the mosque, anti-ISIS. And you have a kid who is looking at you so evil that you put people around him in case he rushes you or attacks you. Did you take the next step of driving him out and reporting him to authorities? And this is what our president has called on the Muslim world to do. This is what he did in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. Take a listen.
A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land and drive them out of this earth.
Right. So this is a comment then that came directly from the president. This is a comment that came from the bomber's imam in his mosque. So he said that he showed me the face of hate after my speech on ISIS. He used to show me the face of hate and I could tell this person does not like me. It's not a surprise to me. I could understand he was not happy with me because I did combat ISIS in that Friday sermon sometimes. So someone who clearly was continually outspoken, you know, against ISIS.
It was interesting here. Now, think about this, folks, and then we can, you know, discuss, I think, the issue inside the Muslim world. I'd like to get your phone calls about this at 1-800-684-3110. We've got some lines open if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Is that specifically in this mosque, because of this anti-ISIS sermon, there was a petition against the imam. And that this individual, the terrorist here, signed on to, but others signed on to. You would think that anyone that signed the petition calling out the imam for giving an ISIS sermon, so disagreeing with him for giving an anti-ISIS sermon, all those people should be on that terror watch list because they are sympathizing with the most evil of evil terror groups in the world. I mean, it's just the truth. And we're getting more reports about the network involved here, that this was not just a single individual. Take a listen to the police chief, Ian Hopkins, and the level of the investigation. Let's play Byte 19 and then Byte 20.
You will be aware that the level of activity in this investigation is intense and is continuing at a fast pace. We've made 3 further arrests in connection with attacks overnight. And this afternoon, we entered an address in Manchester city centre using a controlled explosion. So that brings the total number of people in custody currently to 4.
And he was asked, so again, we've got 4 people in custody, 1 terrorist dead, and then he was asked about that bomb making actually specifically. Take a listen to Byte 20.
Detail. Somebody else put that bomb together, and are you searching for that person? Is this a search now for a bomb maker?
I think it's very clear that this is a network that we are investigating, and as I've said, it continues at a pace. There's extensive investigations going on and activity taking place across Greater Manchester as we speak.
Remember, this is what we call a terror cell. I mean, this is what he's talking about here, is that, you know, this network, a terror cell. Now, a network could even be larger than one cell. I mean, you could be talking about networks across Europe, networks across the UK. We know it's a real issue. I think the idea, though, is that there's so much info about these individuals known to authorities, and there's got to be a way. And I think you have to be creative, and law enforcement will have to be creative. And listen, the people who write the laws may also have to be creative into how to prevent these people, whether or not it's just keeping eyes on them at all times, or especially when there's large events in the areas they are located, keeping eyes on them and not letting them get close to those events, using devices. If you've got chemicals like this around you, you can detect them. So if you've got 3,500 people on the terror watch list, going through and continually checking those people out with the devices that can just drive by their house,
right,
and see if they've got those kind of chemicals at work there. If you know they're terrorists, and they do, then I think you probably have the grounds necessary. I'm not an expert on UK law, but certainly in the US, you would then have the grounds necessary to execute a search warrant and to enter the actual home or the wherever location this may be. I want to take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. We are getting calls on this as well. Logan, I want to take those. We'll take one call now.
Let's go to Whitney in Dallas, Texas. You're on the air on line 1.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jordan. I've got a question about a news report I heard yesterday that's germane to domestic issues as well as the Manchester incident. I had heard that before Scotland Yard had made the decision to release the name of the suspect in their investigation, that a member of American security, or intelligence rather, had leaked it to the press. And I guess I'm wondering, this is really embarrassing for our administration. It's also compromising to the British investigation. That's their purview. Is this finally going to bring the leaking problem to, like,
well, you see, I think, Whitney, what you hit the nail on the head is that, you know, sometimes for news purposes, we all, you know, we think we benefit from getting this information. And certainly at all times, you want to find out who did this, why they did this, who they were connected to, because you look for people that fit the similar profile and pattern. And I don't just mean law enforcement. I mean, those of us in our communities, and especially the people in Muslim and Islamic communities, to look for these patterns. Second, though, I think you hit the nail on the head. These leaks from our intelligence community are happening at all levels, and they are happening especially inside the bureaucracy where this would have been again. And they don't care if it upsets foreign governments. They don't care if it's attempting to undermine our own president of the United States. We have a leak problem in the intelligence community. And of all communities, I think that's what you're, you know, it'd be one thing if you, a leak problem at the Department of Interior is a whole lot different than a leaking problem at CIA, FBI, NSA. And I think that there is a rightful concern there. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3122. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, just to shift topics a bit, because as we want to do is get back to some of the domestic matters like the healthcare legislation. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is about to release a score on that. That could be very telling for how this moves forward in the Senate, correct?
That's right. It's a very important move, Jordan, because the score is actually what will enable the House of Representatives to formally send it over to the Senate under those reconciliation rules. It has to meet a couple of parameters. We do expect it will. But, Jordan, once that CBO score comes in, the Senate will officially take it up. It doesn't mean you'll immediately start seeing debate on it, but it will take the next step forward, and all of the attention will shift to the United States Senate. And, Jordan, just in line with that, one thing to let our listeners know as well, the president's budget was sent over to the Congress this week. It defunds Planned Parenthood on both the mandatory side and the discretionary side, Jordan. That is the first time that has ever happened inside a president's budget. Of course, it doesn't set the spending levels, but what it does is say that the president is recommending to the Congress that Planned Parenthood not get a dime of taxpayer money on either side of the ledger. So that's a very good development.
All right. So, folks, we're going to monitor that very closely on the CBO report. And Than, that could come out while we're on the air, potentially.
It certainly could. At any point today, I expect it, yeah, either on the air or early this afternoon.
All right, so we're going to continue to monitor that. I want to get your comments then also in your analysis of how this terror attack has impacted, obviously, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and members of Congress. But also, I think very important, we've got President Trump at NATO today as well. This, again, a group that will be focusing in on the war on terror. Now, this is a war-making body and a group of allies to carry out military engagements when necessary. And obviously, these threats from terrorism, they occur at the domestic and law enforcement level, obviously, when they happen at our on our homelands. But then they've also got these terror hotbeds. You've got their terror headquarters. ISIS still has Raqqa. They've been driven almost completely out of Mosul and Iraq, but they've still got Raqqa. And they're still operating in places like Libya. So we want to, again, cover all of that. Take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell people how they can engage on social media.
That's right. You can also log on over to Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in that way. Just go to Facebook.com/JSecHill. You'll notice it's the first post. It's us broadcasting live. Just get your comments in that way. We'll take some of those during the breaks and during the show. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we're monitoring, obviously, a lot happening around the world. The NATO summit, those 28 NATO countries, of which, and the President of the United States in Brussels, that is very important. Obviously, what comes out of that, we know a lot of the discussion will be focusing in on terrorism. Second, we know now more about what's happening in the UK. One, the threat level has been raised to its highest level, which is critical, is the word they use. Which means imminent attack. Right. So they believe that there's been networks of cells.
I mean, they've yet to confirm that there's a specific attack, but they think that the level of chatter, activity is at such a level that they're concerned that it's imminent, and that's why they bring that's their highest.
The troops
high
are
level.
On the streets now. So now the different, like all the tours at Westminster have been canceled.
Yeah.
The military has hit the streets. So it's not just law enforcement officials, but now actually machine gun. Military, which, again, we're a little bit more used to in the United States happening. That is more uncommon there, specifically in the UK. In other parts of Europe, that's already the case. So they already have the machine gun military. I say that because the imagery, that's what it looks like on the streets. It's not just guys in military uniforms. They have their machine guns out ready to go.
Look, they've got to be prepared. Look what happened here. And this was,
multiple arrests.
Again, now it's multiple arrests and multiple cell group, the sophisticated nature of the training to make that kind of device, and somebody that was known. But like you all were saying before when I was off air, the fact is, and this is, I think, one of the issues, the imam was concerned about the guy's look in his eyes, yet he didn't report him. The parents had pulled a passport but didn't report him. I mean, this is where the president says that line about you got to push them out, get them out. This is what he's talking about. And while it's painful if it's your own child, but look, I mean, the net effect of that, a lot of other people's own child have been killed by this act of terror.
He's praying loudly in the streets. He goes from no beard to a big beard. His normal friends are no longer contacted. He's scaring his imam. And listen, this imam could have gone to law enforcement, and the law enforcement did nothing with it. I don't want to say that the imam never reported him. They could have. And actually, it would be nice to know. I would wish that they would tell. Now, that imam, though, Dad, this was an interesting point.
Yeah.
When he gave this anti-ISIS sermon, this sounds like a pretty good imam, like someone who understands there's probably an issue inside his mosque with young people. So he gives an anti-ISIS sermon. He gets a petition against him from his own parishioners. This kid's on it. But literally other people are signing on.
And he's not reporting
attacking him for giving an anti-ISIS. If you are sympathetic to ISIS, you should be on those watch lists because if you can sympathize with that kind of violence and brutality, you may not be a terrorist yourself, but you are dangerous.
I want to play the bite, the drive him out bite. I mean, this is what it's exactly what the president talked about. It's precisely what's happening here. Listen to the bite, and then we'll take a call.
A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land and drive them out of this earth.
But this was you realize the president made this speech the day before this happened. And the irony of this was precisely the kind of situation where the driving them out of your places of worship should have happened and driving them out of your communities should have happened. Because this is what exactly, and so this is, if you're asking what the Trump doctrine is on how to deal with ISIS, exclusive of the military, obviously, this is part of it. You just laid out what I would call the Trump doctrine on dealing with ISIS. And that is and that means communities have to be engaged. Something the president would never be willing to say, President Obama would never be willing to say because it would be deemed politically incorrect. Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Andy, who's calling in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on line 3.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jay. I know you've heard us many times. You guys are the best. Pertaining to Jordan hitting the nail on the head earlier in the broadcast, when he said there's something needs to be found out about this situation in Manchester, if this person was actually a suicide bomber or just planted it without the idea of dying, because they don't take the chance of losing a trained bomber in a suicide attempt.
Lawmaker, and I think that's right, Andy, and that's why you see this network. They did find at his home, this how to handle chemicals, but that could just be how to handle the explosive device while you've got it at your home until you're trying to utilize it. So you still got to have some knowledge, obviously, to even explode these devices. But to build it, you're right, and we know this, typically those bomb makers for these Islamic terror groups are the most protected. They're kind of the most prized possession for these groups. And so
and this was a sophisticated weapon.
Yes. I mean, I don't believe the way the reports are is it may have been a suicide attack in the sense that he had this in a backpack. I don't think this was the suicide vest idea that we think of, because
right.
those are usually packed with explosives that you're concealing. And so they don't have this kind
lethality.
Of they don't yeah they don't and, have this
and
kind
deep,
of,
it's got a different capability of lethality. Fan, you know what I'm not hearing a lot from, and maybe you're hearing it up there. I was just there last week, but I'm not hearing a lot from our intelligence community about this.
No, they're not a whole lot. And Jay, honestly, I'm not hearing what I want to hear from Congress either. And it goes directly to the conversation you're having with Jordan, because look, this was clearly not a lone wolf. It's never a lone wolf, Jay. But in the hours immediately after the attack, you heard a lot of that idea. Is there a cell? Is there any help behind it, Jay? There is always
yes.
help behind these attackers, and that's clearly the case here. Look, our lawmakers have got to understand that we can't prevent all of these attacks, but we have to structure policies in a way that root these out. The president got this exactly right.
No,
some on both sides of the aisle here on Capitol Hill, they don't.
It is the Trump doctrine on how to deal with the terrorism. When we talk about the military aspect, this is the domestic aspect. And you realize he's 100% correct with what he said, and unfortunately— in this particular case, I'm curious to see what people are saying on social media on this, Logan, but in this particular case, it was exactly this. It was in the house of worship, it was a known problem. It was in the community, a known problem. In his family, a known problem. Yet, even though he was on a watch list and they were aware of him,
yeah.
nothing happened.
Yeah, comments are coming in about that. Nina said this is often the case. These terrorists were already known. This is beyond crazy. Michelle said no one reported this guy, so does that make people an accomplice?
Yeah.
So comments are coming in like that.
You know, it's so the political correct issue, though, is such a problem all over the world, including in our own country. We don't know if he was reported. I mean, he was on the watch list, so...
Somebody reported.
I mean, it could have been the imam. It could have been his own family. It could have been people in the Islamic community there. But the idea is then the law enforcement, I have a feeling that they get similar training to how ours were trained under the Obama administration. They strip all the Islamic part out of it, and they forget how this ideology works. We even have a report that there was an anti-terror training exercise in Manchester last year.
And they had apologized for it.
And they apologized to the Islamic community for it. I mean, so that tells you, again, the
political correctness in England is worse than it is
much
here, if you can believe it or not.
And Michael actually said, for this situation, what the U.S. do with suspected terrorists in our country and communities? What should we do?
I think exactly what the president has now outlined needs to be instructed to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And, Than, this goes to what's in the manual. It's in the FBI investigation manual for the agents, Homeland Security, that they have the ability to go into the mosque, that they talk to these imams and find out if people are being radicalized. Same thing within the community, not only encouraging it, demanding that if there is a suspicious act to be put forward. So that's what I think.
The radicalization, it does not happen in a vacuum. And remember, we have a FOIA case against this because the previous administration would not allow this to even be a factor. That needs to be turned around 180 degrees. Otherwise, the same thing is going to happen right here.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan will let you know how you can do it.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get your voice heard, you can also find us broadcasting live. If you don't get us on your station, that's on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow or directly facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can also watch it on ACLJ.org. Or if we lose you here, get us archived later on ACLJ.org, the ACLJ app, or the Jay Sekulow Live podcast available now.
And then, by the way, a great welcome to our friends in New York, WMCA, taking the full hour of the broadcast. WIND in Chicago coming soon. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, updating you on the terror attack in Manchester and the investigation that is now followed. If you're just joining us for our second half hour of the broadcast, let's just recap for you. The individual here, Salman Abidi, has likely not acted alone. There have been four arrests in addition to, obviously, the terrorists.
And that, by the way, this post-arrest move, which you're glad they arrested him, but this shows you the problem at the outset when it's always, oh, we've now got the cell. Yeah. I mean, this is the problem with why it doesn't work.
Yeah, so four arrests now. And they call it a network, their head of police.
We would
call it a terror cell, unless they are talking about something broader. That could be because the UK, their Prime Minister, Theresa May, has raised their threat level to the highest level. That means the military is now in the streets. And many areas, you know, open to the public are now closed to the public right now, even to tourists and visitors. France has also announced they're extending their state of emergency through November. They've been in that, by the way. That's not something new. Yeah. That also is the military on the streets. The idea, you know, we've had this post 9/11. We see this sometimes happen after attacks in the U.S. where certain
very rare
areas,
though in England,
very very rare to see the camouflaged military
on the streets
with machine guns.
Let's play again. This was this morning in Manchester. The chief of police speaking. He asked a question about who else was involved. Take a listen.
Somebody else put that bomb together, and are you searching for that person? Is this a search now for a bomb maker?
I think it's very clear that this is a network that we are investigating, and as I've said, it continues at a pace. There's extensive investigations going on and activity taking place across Greater Manchester as we speak.
So this is, well, they call it a network, I think we would call a cell group, but obviously they know that this was much deeper than the lone wolf. No lone wolf here. All right, you want to take a call, Logan?
Yep, let's go ahead. Let's go to David, who's calling in San Francisco, California.
Hi, David, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of different things. I heard you talking about the speech that Trump gave, and he was talking about driving people out.
Yeah.
Well, the only I don't like to be too cynical about this, but I consider Trump to be organized crime, and he's just made a make-work project for organized crime, for creating dirty passports, and he's made a make-work project for ICE.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, would you not want these individuals driven out of the communities, not driven out of the mosque?
It means exposed.
It means exposed to law enforcement.
It doesn't mean just like walking around. What he means is driven out, ultimately apprehended or killed. I mean, that's what he's talking about.
Or prosecuted.
Yeah, and isolated also, so that they don't have communities that they can hide within. So much, much tougher for these guys if they are exposed on the street level and they're not kind of folded into these communities. I think that, and then second, let us remind you that they don't need to make phony passports because the Islamic State, when they took over Syria,
they're not phony.
Got the Syrian passport machines, which are, they make, again, they are illegal passports.
Fraudulently used, but they're not false passports.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the real passport. And that's why part of the travel ban includes Syria because ISIS has the ability to issue passports to whoever they like that are the real deal.
Yeah, so this is not something where you would look at and could determine it was fraudulent because it's not or false. It's not a false passport. It's a real passport used for fraudulent means.
Yeah,
with the president, I like what the president's saying. I like calling it exactly what it is, which is his doctrine. This should be the Trump domestic doctrine on how to deal with terrorists.
Yeah, and he talked about this as well. He did this in the West Bank, which I think, again, shows you that he's not afraid to talk about this. You know, first in Riyadh with the drive them out. But then when he was in the West Bank, he spoke directly about the attack again. He addressed the attack again. And I believe, you know, we've got that sound as well from President Trump yesterday. That's Byte 23.
Dozens of innocent people, beautiful young children, savagely murdered in this heinous attack upon humanity. I repeat again that we must drive out the terrorists and the extremists from our midst, obliterate this evil ideology, and protect and defend our citizens and people of the world.
You hear it, obliterate. Now, he made that statement in the Palestinian Authority.
Very
strong. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We were talking during the break. We're going to work with our policy folks this afternoon here at the ACLJ to see if we can craft a domestic policy, maybe a global policy as well, that becomes kind of the Trump doctrine on how to deal with the change of approach here, which is this: get them out of a mosque, get them out of the communities, get them out of your holy lands. I mean, get them out of your cities, and really put this into paper and what that means, changing the policy manuals, evaluating, and when you have to, looking at the mosque where you have, and this imam evidently was trying to be helpful, was getting pushback. What did the police do? What do they do in those situations? So I'm going to try to work with our Professor Harry Hutchison and Wes Smith and Dr. Economo when he's back in town to discuss this, because I think this is something we need to put into a doctrine, and I'm going to be in a position to present this maybe even next week at the White House. So this, I think it's important to get that out. I think it was exactly what happened here. If you look at what failed here, it's exactly what happened. You want to grab a call, Jordan, or what do you want to do next?
Yeah, we could grab a call, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air.
Maybe
Let's
Roger.
Go to Roger in Tallahassee, Florida, on line 5. Roger, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Roger.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
My question is, do you think that with what happened recently in Manchester might give some second thoughts to those who oppose the president's travel ban?
Well, I sure said that. I mean, I know it got a lot of coverage and maybe a little bit of flack, but I mean, these are countries, specific countries aren't. The problem here is this guy could have traveled on a UK passport, but here's what I would want to be able to ask him. Looking at his passport, I would say, hey, you were just in Syria and Libya. What were you doing there? And I don't want you to just check off, not involved in terrorism. Yeah. So I would think that would require really asking real questions. So, yes, I think this goes to the whole issue of access to the United States.
And we also are dealing with something a bit different in our country. They have a lot more second, third generation inside these communities. I'm talking about, when the ratios in relation to the size of their population, many more people. And the idea that they're born in the UK, but the travel back and forth, the family. Who is moving back to Libya right now if you are able to live in the UK and you've gotten citizenship in the UK? I mean, you are moving back to a war zone where the Islamic State, and this was considered a very religious family of 10, where no one ever saw the daughters, no one ever saw the wife, really.
But yet the family was concerned.
And even them, who were pretty, it seems, very extreme, serious religiously, which is fine if they are not terrorists and not espousing hate. They can take their religion as serious as they would like and practice it that way. That being said, they supposedly tried to take his passport. Now, he still got back. All of these incidents, again, the imam was so scared of him at the mosque that they had people, they had people sit around him in case he rushed the imam. That's the kind of feel he was giving off. That was his aura, if you will.
Yet they didn't pick this guy up, and they didn't follow him. I mean, all the things that you should have done. So again,
so quickly they can make those arrests. They know who exactly who it is.
So, and that's the thing. I mean, it's after the fact. Oh, now we got them. Well, that doesn't help the 23 people that are dead and 70 injured. And then I go back to what I said earlier. We'll take another call in a moment. But this goes back to, we have to implement this as part of our policies. And I really want to be able to present this to the president in the next week. That this is what we, you know, Mr. President, you said this is, and I want to call it the Trump doctrine because that's how I think it is.
Jay, there is always help. There are always warning signs. There is always indoctrination. And many times we know about it. The question is, will we use that information to try to stop the attacks before they happen? And look, Jay, I know a lot of people gave you flack about the travel ban context. But look, the only people that oppose that are the people that say you can't stop every attack that way. Well, that is a terrible excuse for using the information that you have to stop the attacks that you have. You don't have to achieve a perfect record, but Jay, if there was reason to believe that he had traveled to Syria and we refused to look at that, well, then the intelligence community would own some of this attack. I don't know if that's the case in this context, but it certainly will be in some.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, we can take another call, 1-800-684-3110. June in Oklahoma. Online one, June, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Yes, thank you first for supporting an imperfect president with a pioneer spirit. And three things
quickly.
Well,
none of us are perfect, so I'm not let that go. I understand what you're saying. None of us are perfect, but I think the policy implementation is correct here. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm for him. Right. I just, three things quick on ISIS, just a suggestion. Are all the countries doing something where, well, where all the countries together, for 3 points. One, make stiff laws with long-term prison terms for those who are proven to show willingness to participate in ISIS. Two, everything from incentives to false websites.
Yeah, but here's what you've got to do. You've got to start with law enforcement here. And the law enforcement has to, and this is where it has to be a culture change that goes on. You have to have a culture change so that we can include things like radical jihadism back into the manuals. Radical Islamic terrorists back into the manuals. What we should be looking for. When you go into a mosque, if there's a concern, what you're looking for. That has to be as part of, and that's why I'm saying I'm working on it right now. It's kind of the Trump ISIS, or you want to call it ISIS or terrorism doctrine, to how you handle in addition to the military aspect. So, but I appreciate what you're saying. Thanks for calling. Logan, let's grab another call or a comment.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's take this is a question they said. If we approximately have 300 terrorists on a watch list who are refugees, then why are they still here?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, this is the idea of, is our law enforcement, now there's has to be all these different instructional, I mean, the way that the Obama administration changed the instruction manual.
It was very drastic. I mean, it was a really significant change in approach.
Their issues is that they are suspected, they have to build cases.
Yep.
But the bigger idea here is, again, the monitoring. In the United States, with the billions and billions that we spend with all of our, 16 different intelligence agencies that we pay for?
Right.
You would think, literally, if we know that of 1,000 terrorists, we could have one person. We could have probably five people for
that's
each of those people.
That's what they do.
All they do is monitor that person and everywhere they go. And that's not violating that person's rights because they're just being monitored in the public. And if they start taking, you know, we talked about the idea these chemicals can be detected. If you know one of these people already, you've already identified them. So every once in a while, drive by with your chemical detection devices.
And
which
determine if there is one.
And like see if there's anything going on in that house.
DC, yeah, they do. On the streets in Washington,
the
they're always checking.
And they do it, so they do it at the airport with your bag, you know, that little swab they do.
That's what they're doing. So
you can do that in a drive-by situation. You don't have to, like, be right next to the bag itself.
Yeah. Than, I mean, is right now the will to do it? Because there's a lot of political noise in Washington, I know, right now. But is there the will to do this?
I think there's the will down the street at the White House, Jay. I'm not sure there is the will in Congress, so I think it may have to be led out of the White House. Look, I would say two things. Number one, what could be more important than monitoring people who you acknowledge are a terror risk? That should be priority number one. And number two, if we do change those training manuals back and get them fully implemented, Jay, do you think that number on the terror watch list is going to go up or down? I guarantee you there are people that are not on that list because of those changes
that
in the training manuals. We need to get them on, and then we need to actually do something about it once they're on the list.
Absolutely. So we're going to work on this at the ACLJ, folks. We're not just talking about it. All right, Logan.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to let's take one call right now before we go to break. Let's go to Ivan, who's calling on line 4.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, you're on the air.
What's going on, guys? My comments towards Trump telling the Islamic community to report him. Me personally, I believe he's preaching to a bunch of cowards and sympathizers. So you're talking to people who are scared to put their name on a list, and then you got other people who sympathize with them. That's never going to work. I mean,
the fact is, there was enough concern expressed, but you're right, they didn't take the next action. And that's the lack of political correctness.
Yes, but you also, I think, have to be clear that we don't always know when the people are reported. We also know that a lot of times, because they always say these people are known to authorities. That very well be because other Muslims are reporting them. We don't exactly know. They protect the identities of their informants, obviously. That can be done anonymously. But the question is then, what do the authorities do? Now, I think second, what President Trump is talking about is you get the opportunity to drive them out, or other means will have to be utilized. We've talked about, again, the FBI back in, you know, putting the agents back into mosque. It's not unconstitutional. It's not illegal. It's a policy decision, and you don't have to announce it to everybody. These are open. We have FBI agents who are Islamic. They go undercover. They understand the world, and they can then kind of go through the mosques that we know are problematic and know where. Because if you know where these 1,000 suspected terrorists are in our country, and they do because they've identified them, right, you know the mosques they go to. So you don't have to go to every mosque to follow them. And I think that's the important part of this whole discussion is that, yes, we need the Islamic world as well.
Yeah, now there's a report that a fifth suspect has been arrested in Manchester.
It's going to continue on.
A massive amount of radical Islamic terrorists in this city, obviously, right in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, Logan, we follow up on this? We'll get this during the break.
We'll keep the news going.
Some of this has been his family, too. I mean, some have been a brother, and that brother was supposedly heading to Saudi Arabia and then Libya.
Yeah, so the whole family is radical, or some of the family's radical.
Yeah.
But this point's a problem. All right, we're going to take a break, then we're going to take more calls when we come back along and let everybody know they can stay engaged in this.
Lines are jammed, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard. You can always get your comments in. A lot of people are saying, this Cheryl just said, political correctness is hurting us in so many ways.
Yep.
We obviously agree, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like. Again, if you give us a call, there is one line open now. See, I told you to open up. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard.
Let me also say this, that your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. As I said, we're not just talking about the policy here. We're going to be drafting one to implement it. That's the whole idea. So, again, your support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org in response to our emails that are going out makes a huge difference. Let me encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls and comment. And as Logan said in our last segment, we'll talk about any topic you want to. And that number is 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
podcast, everyone. It's the last segment, so we take your calls on any topic. We got our phone lines are jammed. We have one open and ish, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take some calls, Logan.
All right, let's go to David, who's calling from Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, people talk about the cost of doing surveillance and adding more people. Why don't people think about the cost of dealing with the consequences?
Of course.
The medical care, the first responders,
sure.
All of that. I mean, that's got to be astronomical compared to managing, putting a few more people on the payroll.
Well, look, I think you're not talking about a number that can't be followed. So that's what Jordan said earlier, and I think that underscores it. Certainly Great Britain, certainly here. So I could save you $1.5 billion in three line changes. So we could pay for this. We've got to have the will to do it. And as Stan said, down on Pennsylvania Avenue, the will's there to do it. The question is translating that into the United States House and into the agencies, getting the agencies to want to do it. That's really the big battle here.
Yes. I mean, the idea is making sure that all of this, I think, it has to filter down. And you cannot just rely on, cabinet officials, top two or three deputies. But it's making the bureaucracy work. Right now, this bureaucracy has basically been bent on undermining the Trump administration. You've got to get – that includes the intelligence community. That includes the non-intelligence community agencies as well. I think we're at a point where, where the president, when he gets back to the United States, needs a working Washington, D.C. again. I mean, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Everything cannot be about – just investigations. The House and the Senate can only do so much. It all gets referred ultimately to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has put forward their own special counsel at this point. You see, I've now heard Than, and I think that this is important to point out, the Democrats and the left, I think that they realize there may be some steam going out of their whole Russia narrative. Now, especially the idea that they're going to find any collusion, because now what they're saying is, well, we may just find out that, if you're going to talk to the Russian ambassador, you need to report it differently. So I think that they're already preparing for this to fizzle.
They've been deflated.
To fizzle, that no one's going to cooperate with the congressional committees.
Right.
So you're not going to get anything there. They don't care if people are not going to care if they're held in contempt, because the Department of Justice is not going to take action on that while they have a special counsel operating. So Congress's role, they've been neutralized, to be quite honest, by the appointment of a special counsel. And I think that can be a good thing, because they can get back to actually doing the work that we need them to do. But Than, I think that they like doing this work because it's not actually substantive. It looks like they're real busy when they're not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
Jordan, you hit the nail on the head, and I would tell you this. This is the truth. The Democrats in the House and Senate weren't looking for an investigation. They were looking for this to stay in the news. And I do think you're correct that they think if it stays over at the special counsel, it might not be in the news until it's done. That's why they keep issuing these subpoenas, even though they know that their role in this has been taken away.
But I've got a question here, and I'm going to ask this to Logan, because this is a question. Getting the media off of the Russia thing.
Stuff.
Okay, we'll talk about that for a minute.
It's going to be something that, I mean, we've seen it come up even during this situation.
Yeah, even with the terrorist attack.
Yeah, absolutely. It's become one of the more dominant news stories. So to get people off of it, it's going to be really tough. You don't have that unifying moment yet. This is somewhat kind of close.
Right.
But it's not there just yet.
Yep.
There's also another report of a detention. This is not in the UK, but the younger brother of the terrorist in Manchester has now been detained in Libya for suspected ties to the Islamic State. So this could be an entire family
that was radicalized.
That went radical. And remember, the family moved back to Libya. And I kept saying, who on earth, they got that refugee status and then became citizens, we'll go back to Libya right now? This is not like,
it's a civil war.
Yes, Gaddafi's gone, but are you an Islam? Yeah. The only reason you would go back is if you were sympathetic to the Islamic State.
All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Cameron in Florida online too.
Hey, Cameron.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yep. I'd like to get your thoughts on why CNN and the mainstream media didn't report on the Manchester terror attack for well over an hour.
Well,
only Fox had uninterrupted coverage. It doesn't go with their agenda.
Even our friends at Fox, I mean, it was a little slow to roll out, because we picked it up about 3 hours before. And when we picked it up, it was just being reported as a possible incident. And I think it was a combination of a couple of things. I'm not defending CNN and MSNBC, by the way, because they still don't want to call it a terror attack when it was very clear it was a terror attack. But this was Manchester. It wasn't London, so the media resources aren't there. There was a lot of play, but Fox did get on it quickly and gave great analysis. So, yeah, but they don't want this narrative. That's why the media is not covering it. It's that simple. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Adele, who is calling on line 6 in New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hi, Adele.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I just have a little comment. I'm from Belgium. I was born and raised in Belgium.
Yep.
And I remember that time, and it's been more than 20 years. And remember that time, it was already bad. There were neighborhoods that they were telling you not to go there. And I can imagine right now, how is it? And what happened don't surprise me at all. So my comment is just, you know what? It doesn't matter if you left or right, Republican or Democrat. Just united each other. I don't want this to happen here.
Sure. And look, the situation, no, I appreciate you calling it in either way. But the fact is, this is a, you know, I played it yesterday. The multiculturalism aspect of what David Cameron said was right. It's a failed program. It did not work. And I think we see that we have offices in Strasbourg, France. You see the same thing where you've got these blocks. We know we can't walk over to such and such. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yes. I mean, there's, you know, these no-go zones in Paris, obviously in places like Manchester.
Where the police won't even go down.
The police are nervous, you know, to go in small groups or by themselves. Women, the way that they're dressed, obviously. And this is in the free Western world where they can dress however they want. And yet these freedoms are being impeded by these communities because they have been allowed to operate their own pseudo societies within, instead of you don't want to say forced repatriation, but in a sense they need to become British, they need to become American in America,
Adele
became, you know, thankful to be an American.
I mean, you could be like my grandparents came in. They became Americans. They were Jewish. They were Americans that happened to be Jewish. They were you had Americans that happened to be Catholic or Protestant, whatever it might be. That's the way it was. All right, let's try to grab these calls. We can do 3 in a minute and a half. I don't think so, but we'll try.
I don't think so. We'll get one more at least. Teresa in Chicago, you're up quickly,
hey,
please.
Teresa, go ahead.
Yes, Jay. How is it difficult to surveil a potential? Terrorists, but not our government. They surveil our government very well.
Yeah, they're very good at filing things on Michael Flynn, but the terrorists next door, they don't. Well, it's a priority issue, and that's what it is. It's
politics
a priority issue.
Politics over your protection. I mean, I've said this from the beginning with the FBI and the CIA and the NSA. I want those agencies to get back to protecting us. Stop focusing on investigations. They've already said they have no evidence of anything. And the word collusion sounds bad. There's no law about that either. So even if they get to that, there's nothing there. They've already said it. I want them to go back to doing their jobs of keeping us safe, because I get concerned when you have the head of the NSA, the head of the director of national intelligence. Now, you know, an FBI director has to get fired. The CIA director, Mike Pompeo, is a good guy. He's dealing with issues of leaks there.
Yep. Gotta close
they
the
need
leaks
to
too.
Get back to doing their job. And their job is to keep us safe from terrorism and violent criminals.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast. Hey, can I ask you to do us a favor as we are moving towards the end of the month here? ACLJ.org. We want to finish strong. We're really a little bit behind right now. Any amount you donate really makes a big difference for us. Again, we don't talk about that a lot on air, but I'm going to talk about it today. So your support of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org, it's tax deductible, but it really does make a big impact, not allowing us just to talk about these issues, but to engage these issues at the highest level. And that's what we're doing every day here in the United States and around the world. ACLJ.org for that. And again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.